Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Thursday morning, March the 19th, 2026. 12 and a half minutes past the hour and nearly 40 degrees and cloudy skies here in the Marion area. Could be the last day of winter as we head into spring, tomorrow or Saturday, whichever is your preference. Well, phone lines remain open here at the station, 740-383-9944. If there's anything on your mind, feel free to give me a buzz. Do want to remind everybody, Voice of a People with Linda Sims will be live after this show this morning, 10:15 a.m. until 12 noon. And then Adam the Computer Guy will be on today from 12:15 until 1 p.m. Don't miss those shows right here on WGH Talk. Linda always does a good show, good programming, good live local programming. Well, the conversation this morning so far has been on the city's finances and the use of flock cameras in Marion. I think it's been a very interesting conversation. Some people seem to feel that if the state auditor took over Marion at this point, that might be the best possibility. I don't know. You know, that might be one of those things that it sounded like a good idea at the time, but once you're in it, might not be such a good idea. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how that would be. I don't think most people in Marion would know what that's like. I don't know. Maybe good, maybe bad. I guess we'd all have to find out. Now, one thing I didn't want to talk about, because yesterday we were talking about the Republican primary coming up in the 86th district between Ben Weber and Weslin Davis and Stephen Wolf. Now, we had a conversation yesterday on the program, but I was talking to somebody last night who travels Union County and Marion County quite a bit, and they felt that Ben Weber was the favorite. It almost seems, I don't know what happened, but it almost seems as if Ben Weber has become the extreme favorite in this particular race. And I asked this person, I said, well, you travel around these areas. You travel around the 86th district. Who has more signs? What do you see more of? And this person said the reason that they're basing their choice, their decision, that Ben Weber will win this race is because he has more signs. His name is plastered everywhere. And I'm not sure that would have been said just a few short weeks ago. So I don't know. I don't know what's happened in that particular race. But there definitely are Ben Weber signs everywhere. You drive down the boulevard here in Marion. You go down Barks Road. There are a lot of signs. Matter of fact, I saw last night that there's even a sign in front of the mall, which is right across from Kroger. So apparently that's Ben Weber territory out there. And I said a few weeks ago when I was down in Columbus interviewing Gordon Gee on the way back as we came through Union County, it was the Ben Weber signs that I saw, the big Ben Weber signs that I saw on the road, in people's yards, on a highly traveled road. And, you know, the boulevard, there is a big Weslin Davis sign, but there also is a big Ben Weber sign. So here we are. I don't know. Interesting race. Phone lines are open. 383. I have to get the number right. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. If you want to talk about flock cameras, if you want to talk about the city's finances, if you want to talk about the race in the 86th district, Feel free to give me a buzz. It's all on the table here this morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, about giving the wrong number there, I remember a few years ago, there was a radio person on the air who was talking, and they were on the station, and they were giving their home phone number on the air and did not realize they were doing it while the show was going on. So it does happen. We kind of get ahead of ourselves in our mind, I think, sometimes. I don't think I've ever fully given the wrong number out, but it can happen, and even to the best of us. Go ahead, caller.
740-DUMP.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes it just hits you. See, I've always caught it, but the one day that I was sitting listening to the station and the person on the air was giving their home phone number continuously, and actually I had to go in there and say, I think you're giving your home phone number. You know, you don't realize you're doing it. It's so ingrained in your head.
You're just rattling off your own phone number.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that our city council friends knew that I didn't have a problem with Flat Guy. I think he came and did his job. I don't think he knew what he was walking into. I just thought his trousers were exceptionally tight. That's all.
You know, see, I miss things like that.
Well, I couldn't miss it from the back of the room. I don't know if, like, I could see him from, like, more of him, you know what I mean? From, like, head to mid-chin or whatever, whereas you were up closer and only caught, like, torso up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, you could see the coin in his pocket, so...
Really? His pants were that tight?
Yes, and they were very light-colored, so I couldn't help but notice they were that tight from the back of the room.
Is that a new fashion thing?
And I can't see. Oh, Scott, I can't see anything either, so the fact that I could see that, it's... I can't believe he missed it.
Wow, I didn't realize... I didn't realize this...
Well, and the way I had to look, I had to kind of angle, so he was between you and whoever was sitting to the right of you. And so I was kind of, like, looking at him between your guys' heads. So, like, I caught, you know, the side of his body, and that side of his body happened to be a pocket with, I'm going to assume it was a quarter.
Well, in that, and you were kind of way, far away back
there. I was
there.
In the very back row.
Yeah, you were back there. Well, we had the conversation.
So I just want her to know that I have no issue with Flock Guy.
No issue with the Flock Man.
Bless him. He came, and that poor man didn't know he was walking into the lion's den. And like I said, he'll likely check lists of cities that have been accused of these things before he goes and does this presentation again, because I doubt he was expecting what he got.
No, and at some point you had to feel bad for him, because he kind of was left out of the conversation, because when it started to get to the back and forth between the police department and the audience, I mean, there was a good period of time he was just standing there.
But, you know, in the scheme of things, I was thinking that's kind of good training for him, because then he can see how controversial these cameras can become in real time. Like, he can go back and be like, hey, these were the concerns that real people had. So maybe we need to work this into a presentation and tell them that these things aren't happening.
Mm. Well, it could be. You know, I don't know. I was, like I said, the conversation I was having was
I doubt that's what Marion Guy is probably like. I went down and these people were ready to rip me to pieces, and don't you ever send me to a place like this again.
Well, it's just when I was, the conversation and the people I was having the conversation with last night, one of which who was at City Council Monday night, it was just an odd atmosphere in that there is nothing at this point that I believe that the city or the police department could say that is going to satisfy the crowd that was there Monday, and a lot of other people who probably didn't speak either. So I think that's just where we are right now.
Do you see, though, that it was a pretty wide swath of the population, though, that was represented by the speakers that night?
Oh, yeah, I don't think it was any particular group. Here's what I think.
There were lefties, there were righties, there were nuns, N-O-N-E. There were all sorts of folks there.
Well, but here's what I think. I mean,
that side.
Well, I do believe that if the city gets the grant, obviously they will continue. If the city does not get the grant, I don't believe they'll continue.
The county actually applied for the grant.
Right.
I did some reading. So it would be, yes, it would be the county.
Right.
But so they're saying...
Right, but on,
I just don't know if I believe that or not.
Well, but on that note, what
we'll
I would...
We'll have to wait and see.
Right,
I mean, it's a wait and see.
But what I would also say is I would believe that the county really wants these to stay, so pretty good chance that they're going to get the grant. I don't think
the FOP president, Kevin Davidson, comes there, he's also the county commissioner. When he comes there as the FOP president instead of the county commissioner, kind of tells you where his priorities lie, and it's not necessarily with the county residents, it's with the FOP.
Well,
I mean, that to me is a conflict, because which, sir, is your priority, the FOP or the residents of Marion County? Because sometimes it can't be both.
Well, you know, and again, that's an interesting thing, because I think he was...
Sometimes those are in direct conflict with each other, Scott.
Well, they can be, but I think he was trying to make his statement, because I assume the FOP wanted him to make that statement, and he got up and he did it, and, you know, that was pretty well that.
Hmm. Maybe they should have chosen a different county commissioner, or maybe a different one wasn't willing, but I don't. Yeah, the county commissioner came there and told us that he was there on behalf of the FOP.
Well, I guess my question is...
I don't know if they're... I'm kind of sick of them throwing that around, and I personally believe they've thrown it around for too long, and they did what they did up there with the heirs thing, and they need to just stop bullying us, trying to bully us into submission, because I think that card is just about overplayed around here. I think we're all just about sick of it.
Now, what card do you mean?
The FOP, like, we're the police, you stand behind us, you do, you know, or the intimidation factor. Well, the FOP believes in these, and the FOP, okay, well, we don't believe in the FOP, some of us don't, so we don't care what you have to say. So stop throwing it around like it's some big, important thing, because there's a whole lot of us that don't care, and we all think you're crooked and corrupt. So when the county commissioner goes up there representing an organization that a lot of people that I know believe is crooked and corrupt, that doesn't give me much faith in the county government either. Where are their interests?
Well,
their interests are with the FOP. So if the FOP, and let's just go back around circle. FOP state president, Jay McDonald, is his city really going to lose funding for flock cameras? Is the chief, the state FOP president, really not going to have flock cameras in his city?
Well, I think it comes back to the point then, of a poor rollout, because if it is true that the grant is denied and then money
even
is...
Even if it isn't, why do we have 34 cameras and Columbus has 40?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, there's valid questions here to be asked, whether you agree with the cameras or not. And to the point of surveillance, people say if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. I'm going to point back to Ayers Ratliff and how they used very little evidence to indict him and drag him through the mud for 2 years and cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars to prove that he did not do something. It is not out of my realm of belief or possibility that they would use these kind of things to set up cases against people they consider political foes. I would consider myself their political foe. So I believe that even though I do nothing wrong, and let's be honest, if I had done something wrong, they would have jumped on the opportunity to indict me on something. And if they could fabricate something, they would jump on an opportunity to indict me. We've seen how it happens in this town. I keep my nose clean, and I'm still worried about them conspiring against me to do something. So it depends on who you are in this town, whether you should worry about being surveilled or not. And another thing, if it's not about surveillance, if it's really about catching criminals and things after the fact, why does Marmette pay for them? Because Marmette does surveillance. Their biggest role is surveilling these drug rings and then taking them down. Why would Marmette fund flock readers if they weren't for surveillance?
Well, here's one of the issues, and I'm not saying this is my opinion, but I have heard this.
No, throw it out there. Let's hear it.
Well, this is what I've heard from a lot of people when it comes to surveilling people who have gotten in trouble with things. And a lot of people do bring up Ayers because that was a very visual case for a lot of people.
I mean, they had no evidence. No evidence.
Right, right.
And it cost him hundreds of thousands of dollars to prove there was no evidence.
Right.
But not everybody has that kind of money laying around.
Right. But I think what people come back to in that particular case is if, I think we still say, alleged victim had not made the claim, there's nothing these people could have done. So
correct. However, they could have investigated, and had they done a proper investigation, this would not have ever been indicted. Like, a real prosecutor would not have done it. It took him 5 tries to get it past a grand jury to where he could actually get it to a jury, and then it took a jury less than 3 hours to decide, and that includes eating their lunch.
Well, again, I guess I just...
I mean, we can say, well, if the allegation wasn't made, okay, well, if the allegation that the kid at River Valley had sex with his teacher, he said it, that's not enough to prove she did anything wrong, but it's enough to prosecute Ayers Ratliff for 2 years.
Well, and I think that's one of the problems that we have on the whole here, and this is what I was going to say earlier on to one of the callers, is that I certainly do think we are in camps now, because I know people who...
They've done this, though.
Right.
And they're just mad that our camp is fighting back now, that we're tired of the camp BS, that we don't stand a chance against them.
Right, but I know people who have had no relationships personally with city or county elected officials, and they might have been a little suspicious of them at the time, but then once they had somewhat of a relationship with them, for whatever reason, they felt differently about them because they helped them in a way. And I think that's what goes on with the mayor a lot. I think that if you are a person who the mayor helped out or did something good for, you probably think he's a very nice man. I don't think shirts are...
He's got 30-plus years of law enforcement of stepping on people's toes and treating people wrong, though. And you can see the environment that he fostered and the officers that have came up behind him and the environment that they are fostering for the officers that are coming up behind them.
Right, but I guess all I'm saying is that if you did something nice for him and he did something nice for you, you probably have a very cordial relationship with him and don't feel that he's ever done anything wrong. It really has become a troop thing. And I think one of the issues going on now, and again, if you're doing something wrong, it certainly should be brought out. I'm not saying that
Bill
it should
Collins
not.
Went down to McKaylee's and unarrested his daughter in front of everybody when he was a major and then got promoted to police chief. He got docked 8 hours of pay for that. Okay? That's the culture that we've got going on.
Right. And again, I'm not saying that people are not doing wrong here, but I think what has changed is that it's you or me, and if I don't like you, I want to destroy you. And that is rough.
Well, I think... Okay, so with me, I didn't start out trying to destroy them. I started out trying to point things out and say, hey, we need to do something about these things. They tried to destroy me, and when that didn't work, it became game on.
Right, no, and I'm not... Listen, and everybody has to make their choice. All I'm saying is the culture that we have right now, and it certainly is not... This is not directed at you...
Better watch it now, Spears.
I know.
Watch it now.
I know. You called us friends the other day, so you know it's one of those things.
We're just acquaintances. I back that down, sir.
Well, what I'm saying is, there are people who don't like people, and it seems as if it's not enough to just dislike them. That
agreed.
You want to
destroy them as well.
And
yes.
I don't know that is the best method because
we could look at McGinnis for that.
There's another
example of. I think we could look at her as a good example of that. It wasn't enough to just try to get her to quit the job. We had to belittle her and defame her and, you know, push her into sadness and sorrow and, you know, sleeplessness and all these other things. We had to destroy her. We couldn't just, you know, put the pressure on her professionally.
Right, but I don't understand exactly why revenge...
That had to become personal. It couldn't stay professional.
Exactly. And I think a lot of these things are very personal, because I think even though issues are being used, a lot of it is personal, and I don't think...
Like, was she a bad auditor? Yes. Was she a great person? Yes, she is. She's a wonderful person. And she did not deserve to be treated how she was.
Right. So, but if we look at other people, I mean, what is the rubric?
Tommy Reese, you know? Oh. I mean...
Tommy Reese. Okay. Yeah. What's the rubric there? Good person? Good at his job? I don't know.
He never treated me poorly. I've heard other people had interactions with him, but I never did personally. I don't think he really ever spoke disrespectfully to the public. I don't think he was good at his job, but I think we berated him to a level that we didn't and turned it personal.
Well, right, and I think that's where we are now on everything. I think everything is personal. Because you notice one of the things that happens now is, now people can have information. Okay, that's fine. And they put information, but clearly it has nothing to do with the point that they're making. It might be true, but it's done to belittle the person. It's not done to prove a point. It's done to make the person look bad or discredit them. And
I posted a thing this morning. It came down from the third quarter. I just want your opinion on this.
Okay.
I mean this. It came down from the third district court of appeals, which is our appeals court. So if you're in Marion County and you want to appeal something, that would be the immediate court that you appealed to. It was from Common Pleas. It was a jury trial that happened last year. It ended, I think, in July or August. The guys were sentenced to prison. They were cousins. One was from Detroit, drug case. There were a lot of errors, E-R-R-O-R-S, errors that were made in the sentencing. And some of them had to do with what the judge did wrong, which was Anderson, and some of them had to do with what Ray's office did wrong, which, if I'm not mistaken, the prosecutor was Allison Kessler on that. Now, it's pretty significant. Like, they kept, there was forfeiture of the guy's money. It was like $9,800 or something like that, but the forfeiture wasn't done legally. So the court is ordering that the money be given back to the defendants. Their sentences were ran consecutively, which means one after another instead of all on top of each other. And when you do that, it's allowed. It was allowed in this case, but you have to read specific language into the record. There's like three sentences that have to be read, and the justices from Lima, that's where our appeals court is, put them in there, and they weren't read. So the consecutive sentences can't stick, and you can't go back, and you don't get a redo on these things. So you can't. They imposed fines, and they weren't allowed to impose fines, because if I tell the court I'm indigent, okay, yeah, they have my $9,800, but I don't have it, so technically I'm broke. So I tell them, hey, I'm broke, I need a lawyer. And they say, yep, you're broke, here's your lawyer. Well, they can't go back. If I'm indigent, I can't pay a fine, because they've said you don't have any money. We can't. They've now given up the right to fine you. Well, what Anderson did was added a fine at the end. So that's how they kept his money illegally for the forfeiture. So when I put those things out there, am I doing that to make people look bad, or am I doing that to make people informed of what's going on in our court and our prosecutor's office?
Well,
and I'm not being an ass. I'm asking that legitimately.
No, and I think it would come down to the same two questions I would ask myself as hopefully somewhat of a journalist. Number one is...
Yeah.
I know.
Well,
it depends. It all depends. It's number one, I would say motive. Now,
Okay. Did
you post it because you felt people needed to know it, or did you post it because you wanted to take a shot at the people who did wrong?
What if it's both?
Okay, well, that's a little bit to one side then, because would you have posted it if you did not want to take that shot?
Well, but I wanted to take that shot if these people weren't incompetent over and over and doing people wrong.
Okay. Well, and that's a question everybody asks themselves.
Would I have the agenda to expose them and to take the shot if they weren't repeatedly doing things that were? And this didn't come from me. This came from an appeals court, so this isn't my opinion. So they did these things wrong, and they're making these errors, and we are paying them as citizens, and we are electing them as citizens, and we need to know that these are the things that are happening. Because now drug dealers that they were bragging about these great big long sentences for are not actually going to be getting those great big long sentences. And the $9,800 that was forfeited to Marmot is now going to be given back to criminals.
Right. Well, and then the other question would be if you got a positive story about these people, would you post it?
You know what? Now I'll tell you this. our buddy Phil. He had posted a few things here recently about Monday's city council meeting, and one of them was a shout-out to Thad, and I even tagged Councilman Thad Smith in there and told him thank you and you know, appreciated his patience, and I think I might even have thrown a little apology or something in there, you know, for the way things ended, but that appreciated him doing the right thing, the hard thing, and listening to the people. And then our buddy Phil also made another post about Ralph Smith asking some tough questions, which you had discussed. And you know what? I tagged Ralph Smith, and I said, thank you, Ralph Smith, for asking the tough questions when they needed to be asked. So,
well, there you
tell me, Scott Spears, you tell me.
Right, well, that's good, and that's good.
Credit where credit is due, regardless of to whom it belongs.
Right. So, in this, is there a particular situation to where you would praise Ray Grogan or Todd Anderson?
If they did something that I thought was good and fair and right.
And I think,
or if Todd Anderson came down with some, you know, like, some plea, like, let's say Ray Grogan had... Let's say he pulled an Edwards, is what I call it. Grogan's office would make these deals, and these people would get these slaps on the wrist, and Edwards would say, no, I'm not accepting it, and I'm going to sentence them to more time. I'm going to max out the time that I can give them on these little piddly charges that you gave them. If Anderson did something like that on one of these sweet deals that Ray hands out, yep, I'd post it everywhere. But there aren't any examples of that yet. There were times that I know one situation where the woman... It was an elder abuse situation. Ray's office put it down to nothing, and I think the best that Edwards could do on it was 8 years, and he maxed it out. And everyone was irate. They let this woman die, all this other stuff, and all you gave him was 8 years. It might have only been three. I don't know, but whatever it was, he maxed him out. And that didn't make anybody happy, but it was because of the charges that the prosecutor's office had brought. He couldn't give him 20 years on a charge that only carried eight. So if... Anderson did some stuff like that, or Frerichs did some stuff like that, instead of hosting Club Courthouse with his booze all lined up on the bench, then yeah, let's talk about it. We need some good things to talk about in this community.
I'll tell you the change that I have seen in the time that I have been reporting on these things. And the difference is this. The difference is there have been politicians and there have been people in the public eye, you know, police officers, so on and so forth, who were definitely... disliked. Now, not disliked by all, but they were definitely disliked. And usually there was a reason they were disliked. And a lot of times they did things that would be considered inappropriate. But that was never brought to light because nobody wanted to make it personal. I dislike the person, but I'm not trying to destroy their life or make their life more difficult. Now, then
shout out to Afro Man, by the way.
Oh, by the way, you know what? I saw that case. I thought, what?
That's a win for the people, Spears.
Well, yeah.
Talking about law enforcement. I mean, he's a black man in a county of 27,000 people, predominantly white. He fought the law and he won.
Yeah, he's a snappy dresser, though. But the point is that you couldn't miss that case when it came on the television.
Oh, my goodness. If I'd known that was going on, I'd have been in out of county for 3 days.
Well, the thing of it is that I do, because I can think of the, you know, I can rattle five things off, I won't, but that people did inappropriately in their life, in the past. Now, if it were today's climate, and somebody didn't like that person, it would probably be on social media. And it would probably be done to try to ruin that person's life. And that's...
Would it be to try to ruin that person's life, or would it be to check their power? Because these people walk around with these egos and this power, and they command this respect, and they aren't really, all of them, not respect-worthy. And if people really knew the truth, then maybe they wouldn't be able to wield this authority and scare people into... wondering whether we're being surveilled or not, and this that's going to be used to retaliate against us.
Well,
you know,
I guess...
So, there's nothing wrong with the little sunlight, some disinfectant.
No, I just think it all comes down to objectivity. Because I think...
I agree with you, 100%.
Right, and I think it all comes down to objectivity, and in the end... I think everybody should ask themselves when they're doing, and this isn't even anything to do with the media, it's social media now. If you are doing something for the sole basis to hurt that person, and even if it's more than 50%, just to hurt that person.
What if it's 50-50? What if it's 51-49?
Well, I think you should take a look at it then.
What if it's to point to other people like, hey, elections have consequences, and because you went straight down the ballot and voted R, this is what's going on in our county.
Well, I think I've told this story before, and I can still tell it without the name. Years ago, there was an election going on in Marion, and there was one person running for office who was clearly disliked. I was working at another radio station at the time. I went to break. The phone rang off the air. I picked up the phone, and the person told me something pretty smarmy that the person running for office was doing. Now, it had nothing to do with that person's competency for office. Was it true? Yes. It was absolutely true. I could have ran that story and 100% true. I never had to worry about any kind of libel in those days or anything, because the story was true. But was it relevant to that campaign? Was it relevant to that person's ability to hold that office? No. It had nothing to do with them. So to me, it was a low blow. And so I never did anything with it.
But does character matter? And I'm not saying that you should have reported that. I'm not saying, like, you should have taken right to the air with it, because it was obviously a different news climate, a different type of news station, and probably a different news audience that would be more tabloid type stuff when you're doing radio. But doesn't character matter? Does it matter that people are out drinking and driving and that sort of thing? I mean, does it matter that they all party together and hang out together and vacation together? I mean, to me, that kind of stuff matters, because the appearance of them being impartial towards each other is very, very low, and the appearance of them stacking the deck against us, or the probability, seems much, much higher.
Character does matter, but I don't know anybody who's all bad.
Oh, and I don't know anyone that's perfect either, as far as that goes. But, you know, whether, you know, like, okay, so let's go back to, for example, the sheriff was on your show at election time endorsing Todd Anderson, and you had asked him, you know, about the uniform and the controversy, and we barely know each other, and we didn't organize this trip and whatever, and we were all just told to dismiss that. Those same facts are now laying in front of Supreme Court Justice Sharon Kennedy, the head justice, and she's deciding whether or not Todd Anderson and the Sheriff's Department are going to be able to investigate this Dameron case based on those facts. Now, I don't know how she's going to rule. Clearly, she's a justice, and I'm not, but it's enough to make her take pause, and if it's enough to make a justice take pause, what does that do to the people in town?
Well, that's it. That's it. But, you know, I really don't know that it is a different news climate, to be honest with you. I think the difference is now, is what I said in the beginning. I think people are more out for somebody's head than they are for who's the best person to do the job. Because sometimes those are in direct opposition. And that's a problem. Now, does character matter? Of course it does. But also, again, honestly, if I was really in a jam with something, or I needed help for something, as far as, let's say, fruitcake toss, off the top of my head, if I needed something for the fruitcake toss, you know, I needed a street blocked off or something, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, for the good of that event, I don't think there's anybody who I would go to who would say, well, I just don't like him, I'm not going to do it. I don't think they would do that.
Oh, no, I don't think they would either. I think that you would get your fruitcake tossed. Plus, I mean, right. I think if the word would get out and you have enough of a following that we would just block the streets with our bodies to have the fruitcake, or our cars, you know, just take over Superior Street and block it off and leave and have.
But I think that's I think the mentality now, though, is that, you know, that certain people would never do things for certain other folks. And I don't know that that's the case. I really don't. You know,
well, they would bill you because the News Force 27 guy had something over in Sawyer Park, and he hired the city police department for security, and he never paid them, and it was $500, and they took him to court. This is just on Facebook. They took him to court, and there's Jeff Ratliff, assistant law director, prosecuting him for $500, and I thought, we'll go after him for $500, but we won't go after the $1 million in back income taxes that are owed. And on that note, let somebody else complain.
Well, it's an interesting conversation.
It is.
Thank you.
Take care, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I just think it's an interesting climate that we live in now. And it's not necessarily bad, because as I've said, I think more information is probably getting out than ever before. But I don't know that destroying people's lives is the best way to go. You know, there have been people doing a lot of bad things in their personal lives, not illegal, but just doing things that maybe weren't on the up and up for a long time. And I don't know if it didn't come to light. Let's put it that way. But again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. If anybody's got anything they'd like to say in regard to the whole flock camera thing, or the city's finances, or whatever else we've talked about. The race in the 86th District, the primary coming up on Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. What a primary night that's going to be here at the station when we have our coverage. Cinco de Mayo, primary night. Easy date to remember, the 5th of May. Do want to remind everybody, Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up next, 10:15 to 12 noon. And Adam the Computer Guy from 12:15 until 1. And again, the phone lines are open. I think I'm given the right phone number. It's a day-to-day proposition around here. 740-383-9944. Oh, you know what? I said I was going to talk about the Women's Club today, and nobody reminded me of this. So, here's the, I guess we'd probably call this gossip. This will be the gossip section of the program today. You know, the Women's Club recently had their, I think it's called Turn Up the Heat Dance, which has been very successful in raising funds and doing good things for the Women's Club for a number of years now. And I was kind of shocked. The last, I think it happened, when did it happen? The day of the time change, it happened. And that Saturday night. And the weird thing is, I did not see a lot of publicity about this. I did not see any articles written on it. I did not see anybody really out selling tickets. I didn't hear a whole lot about it. There just wasn't a lot of talk. And I had said last year, I had said two things about this event, because I've been to this event in the past. I went 2 years ago. I said that, number one, I think I only knew one person who was dancing. And the idea is that well-known people in Marion get up and dance, and people buy tickets and donate money, and that's how you get to where you get. Linda Sims was a dancer there years ago and actually won. That's why I was there that night. So, I didn't know any of the people except the police chief, Jay McDonald, which I thought was odd to begin with. And I thought, well, maybe I'm just out of touch. I don't know these people. So, that happened. Then I made the comment that there are hosts of this event. I'm not going to say their name because it's not my intention to down anybody. And actually, I don't think it's their fault. But the host of the event, when I was there, were doing kind of very hokey humor. And my impression in the room was that, you know, people laughed, but they laughed because they knew they were expected to laugh. It was just like somebody read a joke book and was telling jokes, and that maybe there should be some new material. So that's all that was really said about this event. So then the event happens, and I don't hear much about it. Hardly heard anything this year about it. And in past years, I'd seen pictures and reports and articles in the newspaper and all kinds of stuff, and not much this year. Well, the other day, Tuesday, I think it was, I ran into somebody who is very, very, very heavily involved with the Women's Club. Not going to say their name. Again, this is the gossip portion of the program. Who said that they raffle things off that night. And they said, the raffling items, the donations were almost half of what they were the year before on certain things. They said that there were a lot of empty seats, and there are not a lot of seats in that room to begin with. I think there's only something like 80 seats in that room because the auditorium is not very big. Said there were a lot of empty seats, and that event has always been a sellout in the past. And also made some critiques. Now, this person is heavily involved in the women's club. Made some critiques as if they made the critique. It's the same dancers every year. This is a problem. The people this year were not very well known. That they've done this so many years now. They've went through the heavy hitters in Marion. That they really don't have any heavy hitters anymore. And that this person did not really want to participate anymore in this event, and probably would not be participating in the future. Now, I thought that was an interesting review of the event from somebody who is involved, heavily involved in this organization. Now, I think the Women's Club does a great job. I think the way they've revitalized that club has been great. The money they've raised with this event has been great, but I wonder what happened this year, and I wonder if it is what they were saying. Same dancers, they've went through, the heavy hitters in Marion. They're not asking people anymore who are going to draw a big crowd, that are seats empty. You know, a lot of interesting stuff, and when donations go down like that, I'm not saying overall donations because I don't know what that number was. And remember, this is gossip. This is not a news report. This is what I heard from the person, is that there were certain items auctioned off that night that were 50%, went for 50% less than they had the year before. So, sorry to hear that, if that is the case, but it did remind me of the comments I had made about this event. And a lot of people thought I was being critical of the event. I'm not being critical of the event. You know, I have done events at the Women's Club. I enjoyed doing things at the Women's Club. It was fun. It was a good room. It was a nice parking, easy place to be. So the Women's Club has always been very nice to me, and I have a good relationship with a lot of the higher-ups there. I get the Women's Club newsletter every month and was invited to their big unveiling of their History Center recently. I was also asked to contribute to the History Center, which I did. I have a lot of positive things to say about the Women's Club, but apparently the event was not what it was. Now, I'm not sure if Linda was at the event or not. She might have been. Maybe you can ask her next hour. But that's what I heard. So I just wanted to bring that up. Maybe it's time for a little change in that event. I don't know what you could do. Maybe new dancers. Maybe change up what you're doing. Everything runs its course, I guess. Especially something that was as successful as that and as good an idea as that was. But maybe things run their course. Does anybody have any thoughts? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, this is always a big problem with, service groups, I guess. This would be considered a service group in general. It's hard to get people to keep coming. You know, I know the Historical Society has had these issues. I know that, all groups, the Y-Men, the Rotary, the Kiwanis, I think they all have these issues as time goes along. And I don't know. Maybe the Women's Club can put this back on track and figure out what happened this year. But that's the story I heard. So we have 4 minutes left to go. I'm glad I got that story out. If you have anything you'd like to contribute, give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Why do you think service groups are having such a hard time? Are we in the technological age and people just don't care anymore? It's a whole nother set of people that aren't really interested in going to these club meetings. I don't know if people are as social as they once were. You know, do people really go to events and mingle and have a good time. You know, when I went to this event a couple years ago, I had a good time. I thought they had a good food display, and the year I was there, it was a sellout. I don't think there was an empty seat anywhere. But I also think they've done a good job, for whatever reason, of excluding the media. Now, I think the reason they did that was because they were doing so well and they really didn't need it. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
I think just everything's expensive right now. You know, you've got gas pushing $4 a gallon. You've got, you know, the cost of everything, food, the cost of everything is up. And I think people are just kind of, you know, settling in for the, you know, you still got another year and a half of this shit. But making America great again.
Hey, that's a good point. I never thought about the prices being up. Maybe that's why people stayed away.
Exactly. I don't think it's anything to do really with, you know, who the dancers and who the people are. You know, people show up and show, you know, for these things. But just money is super tight. I mean, it's not just one thing. It's everything across the board, you know, since this guy got into office. So.
It's a good point. Hey, thank you.
Have a great day.
All right, and again, the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's a very good point. Maybe it's the cost of things. You know, I don't know. You're right, gas has gone up quite a bit, considerably, in the last month. And things don't seem to be falling in the grocery stores, or anywhere else for that matter. So maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe that has hurt them. I don't know. I'm just going by what the person told me, was they felt that doing the same thing over and over and over and over, I think for 7 years now, or maybe longer than that, there's not a lot of change. And, you know, how many times can you go and see the same movie? You know, all things that do well eventually run their course. Because when it's new, oh, that's great. But again, if you've seen the same movie 7 times, no matter how great that movie was, the 6th and 7th time, it's really not as great and doesn't keep your attention as much as it once did. And you probably don't want to buy a ticket anymore. So I don't know. The Women's Club has a smart group of people there, and I'm sure they'll figure out what happened and try to right it. But we'll see. I do want to remind everybody, Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up when we're done today, 10:15 to 12 noon. Adam the Computer Guy today, 12:15 to 1 p.m. And again, maybe you can ask Linda what her interpretation of this was, or if she attended. I don't know. I don't know the answer to either one of those questions. See, you can get your own firsthand perspective of what might have happened at the Women's Club event this year, Turn Up the Heat, which was a couple weeks ago. All right, I'm done for the day. I hope everybody stays tuned for this day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret.